Enjoyed the message we've heard already. And I pray that what you've heard this morning will sink down in your ears, find a lodging place in your heart, and come forth in your life. Be it words, be it actions, be it decisions, be it footsteps, be it not doing things that you shouldn't do, whatever it might be, so that your light would shine, so that you would have a godly influence in this world, and that God would be praised. There was a lot that we heard this morning. A lot. What a shame. What a crying shame it would be if, as soon as the last amen is said here, everybody just forgets about everything that was said and start talking about all the things going on in the world. What profit? What Brother Kenneth has preached this morning is profitable. It will be profitable in our lives. And like he said, not necessarily the bank account, although that can happen. It's up to God. He knows what you need. He can do that too. But it's profitable for our life so that we can be faithful to the Lord and that we can be a blessing to those around about us and that we can be a good influence upon our families and our friends and whatever to the glory of God. That's what it's all about. I pray that whatever we hear here, we can take home with us, and it would help us to live a better week and a better month and a better year to the glory of God. All right? That would be a praise to Him in the earth. Okay? And isn't that what we're supposed to do? Aren't we to be a praise to God? So, okay, so let's just take a brief moment here and just think about, okay, how much praise have I been to God in recent days? You'll have to answer that. Now, I will give you this. As long as you're obeying the word of God, you're showing forth your love for God, that counts too. Because that also is a praise to His name. All right? What I have on my mind and my heart this morning for the rest of the time is praise. Praise. You know how to do that. Right? That's easy to do. But it's easy not to do. It's easy to get caught up in the things of this world and do everything else except getting around to praise that we ought to be doing every day. You know that's right. Brother Thomas prayed this morning. He prayed for repentance. We desperately need that. Those folks over yonder desperately need that, don't they? I need that. You need that. Where's it going to come from? Where? There's nothing I shouldn't say that. I can exhort you. I can encourage you. I can show you scriptures. And you've heard already how to have a blessed life. It comes from decisions that we make, doesn't it? It comes from the choices that we make each day. And the Word of God being treasured up in our heart has a lot to do with how much praise is going to come back out. Being mindful of the blessings of God has a lot to do with how much thanksgiving is going to come back out. It's a matter of praise to God. It's a matter of the heart. All right? And it's always, you know, repentance is a big part of that. Okay? But what I have on my heart this morning is Psalm 117. Do you know the first time I ever read Psalm 117? I doubt anybody here knows. So I'll tell you. When I was in middle school, our teacher would ask a student to read a verse of scripture, or a few verses of scripture, to start the day. Oh my goodness. How horrible was that? We used to do that in schools. Do you know there's a lot of Bible that I learned from those kind of things that I didn't hear at church? Okay, all right, here. So I was called on one time to read verses of scripture. I didn't know anything about the Bible at that time. I grew up in a Primitive Baptist home. I had good parents. They taught me. I didn't know much about the Bible. I didn't know anything about the Bible. I'd heard a lot about it. But if you had told me to go find something in the Bible, I don't know if I could have found you anything. I was petrified. I was asked to read some verses of Scripture. So I turned to one of my friends and I said, "What do you suggest? What can I read?" They said, "Go read Psalm 117. It's just two verses." I said, "That's great." I read them. They're good verses. I promise you, I didn't have any appreciation. Not any appreciation, but I didn't have much appreciation for what it was really saying. And what it's saying here, if you know, you know. If you know the Lord, if you know what He's done for us, if you know how great He is, now we don't know the extent of His greatness, but we know He's great. And it's a good exercise for us to involve ourselves in trying to learn more about His Word and more about what He's done for us and more appreciation for what He has done for us, because then in our mind and in our heart, He gets bigger and bigger and bigger. All right, but at that time, I didn't know anything. I just didn't appreciate what that said. But I can give you a whole chapter of the Bible in two verses. And even though it's the shortest chapter in the Bible, there's great praise in it when you understand what it's saying. All right? Not that it covers it all, but it tells us. All right? So let's get to it. Psalm 117. Hope you found it by now. Oh, praise the Lord, all ye nations. Now, that's Jews and Gentiles. This is Old Testament. All right? So he's referring to those of God's people who know him and have a desire to praise him. Now, honestly, everyone, without exception, should be praising the Lord. He sends his rain upon the just and the unjust. He's created an environment in which we live that's magnificent. It's beautiful. It's glorious. In enjoying the natural creation that God has given us. We ought to praise God for that too. Okay? Praise ye the Lord, all ye nations. All ye nations. Praise him, all ye people. All right? Excuse me. Let me tell you a question that a Christian should never ask. A question a Christian should never ask. If you're encouraging somebody to praise the Lord, a Christian should never say, "For what?" Should never be the response of someone who claims to be a Christian to say, "For what? What do we have to, what, why should we praise?" Because what that tells you, if somebody says that, their focus is on things on this earth. Their focus is probably on their circumstances. Their focus is probably on what they want to do. Their focus is probably on whatever it is pleasing to them. which means they're the most important thing in their life. All right? But if, and okay, so, and those things are temporary. Those things are temporal. Those things are changing. Some days are good, some days are bad when your focus is in that direction, when it's focused on the things of this earth. What did Brother Kenneth say in Matthew 6? Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. All right? That's a priority, isn't it? And when we have a priority of thinking about the Lord, thanking the Lord, praising the Lord, we can go through the changing scenes of life. We can go through the good times and the bad. Well, it'll help us in the ups and downs that we face in life. When our focus is on the Lord. If our focus is on ourselves and our circumstances, it's going to be a roller coaster ride, isn't it? But when we're focused on the Lord and his goodness and his mercy and what he's able to do and what he has done for us and what he continues to do for us and what he will always do for us and what we'll have with him in glory, when our focus is upon those things, then, bless your hearts, we can absorb the bumps of life. We can absorb. Now, you know, sometimes the bumps are soft and sometimes they're hard. But the same is true. If we have the Lord as our focus, if we have the Lord as the one on whom we're trusting and depending upon, then it will help us tremendously. And while we have that focus, we'll be blessed. And, bless your heart, we'll have a heart to praise God better and more. All right? All right, so he says, praise all ye people. All right, so verse 1 tells us what we ought to do. All right, we ought to be, as the people of God, we ought, because we know that there are those who are not going to praise God. We know that. I don't expect that out of some folks. And I don't, you know, we don't have a mark on the forehead to be able to tell who is and who isn't God's people, but we judge fruit. We see the fruit that's being born in lives, and just from that, we realize that there are going to be people who are not praising God, period. But don't let that be us. If we know him, if we love him, then there ought to be praise coming forth from our lives every day. You know, and it doesn't have to be, you know, it can be a decision that you make. When you choose what's right, that's a praise to him. He sees it. He knows it. Right? Okay. Now, it's good for us to use our lips in praise and adoration. As a matter of fact, in the Old Testament, they were commanded to make sacrifices. In the New Testament, we don't have that commandment anymore. But when we do our giving, when we praise him, those things are spoken of as sacrifices. How can that be a sacrifice? Because we have to give up self in order to serve God. And that's what we're supposed to do. And we have, not only is it our duty as a Christian, but it is our privilege because of the mercy and the grace that's been bestowed upon us. So when verse 1 of this little short chapter speaks about what we should do and who should be doing that, then verse 2 tells us why. And there's two very powerful reasons of why. There's a lot more, but in this psalm, there's two powerful reasons stated as to why we should be praising God. All right? So he says, first of all, for his merciful kindness is great toward us. His merciful kindness. Well, I guess that means we need to define what his merciful kindness is. Has God been kind to you? Has he shown you his kindness? And by the way, his merciful kindness to us, who, as we heard earlier, are sinners. God's blessings do not just fall upon those that are pleasing. Bless your hearts. His mercy has come to us when we were yet sinners. He has shown us. When we're born of His Spirit, we feel that conviction of our sins. We understand that we are in need of a Savior. We understand our need, that we needed one when He came to us. We need one right now, and we'll need one for the rest of time here, and we'll praise and adore Him in all eternity, the Savior that God provided for us. His merciful kindness has been shown unto us. You know, Ephesians chapter 1. I'm sorry, chapter 2. it's hard to jump in the middle of this. Ephesians chapter 2. He speaks about how we were by nature, but then he says in verse 4, but God, who is rich in mercy, for His great love wherewith He loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved, and hath raised us up together, made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Now, why did I read that? That in the ages to come He might show the exceeding riches of His grace in His kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. God's kindness, the greatest manifestation of God's kindness to us, is when He sent His Son to this world to save us from our sins. And if you're blessed to know that, and if you're blessed to understand that, if you can embrace that wonderful truth and rejoice in it, then you've got something to praise Him for every breath you breathe. We may not do it, but you've got reason to every breath you breathe. Not only here, but in all eternity. Because of His loving kindness. All right? So he says, for His merciful, it involves mercy, didn't it? Ephesians 2 and 4 said, but God, who is rich in mercy. All right? We didn't earn it. We don't deserve it. But by His mercy, He has given it to us. He reached down to where we were and lifted us up. David spoke about that in Psalm 40, didn't he? Lifted me up and set my feet upon a rock and established my going. Put a new song in my mouth. Even what? Praise. If at every remembrance of what God has done for us, we should be praising Him. Now that doesn't take all day long to do, does it? We could speak of thank you, Lord, in our heart. We can give Him a word of praise. We can give a word of adoration and thanksgiving for all that He's done for us. But the first reason in verse 2 here in this little chapter tells us a great and powerful reason for us to be praising God for His merciful kindness toward us. Jeremiah 31 and 3 tells us, yea, I've loved thee with an everlasting love, and therefore with loving kindness have I drawn thee. And He does that here in time, doesn't He? He loved us before the foundation of the world. Ephesians 1 and 4, chosen in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy without blame before Him in love. That's what He's has done for us through His Son. Okay? So, again, I got away from Ephesians 2, 4. God, who is rich in mercy, for His great love wherewith He loved us. And listen, God doesn't start loving and quit. If He has ever loved us, He loves us still. Now, we don't always show that love in return, do we? But you know what? That's where repentance comes in. That's where acknowledgments come in, acknowledging our sins, acknowledging our shortcomings. And first and foremost to Him, confessing our, what is John, 1 John 1 and 9? If we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. It's kind of like a spiritual bath. We need that on a regular basis, don't we? I mean, you need one for your natural body. You know, I recommend it at least. But we need it for our spiritual body to cleanse us from all the mistakes. And you know, I'm not saying that it pays the debt. I'm saying it eases your conscience, because the Lord Jesus Christ is the one who came and saved us from our sins and paid our sin debt. And every day we live, every step we take, every choice we make, we ought to be saying, "Thank you, Lord, for what you have done for me in your merciful kindness that you have shown unto us." And we could go on with this all day, but I think you get the picture. All right? His mercy endureth forever. And so he continues to show his merciful kindness toward us. All right, the second powerful truth in this second verse in this chapter. And the truth of the Lord endureth forever. As Brother Kenneth was emphasizing the Word of God this morning, as he was emphasizing how that we need to be taking heed to it and listening to it, following it, putting it into practice in our lives, and the blessing that it will be to us in our life, and the cumulative effect that it will have not only on ourselves but our family and our friends and our churches and all around us. That truth that we stand upon. What a blessing that we know that it will stand forever. God's not going to give us a revised version of the Bible. He's not going to rewrite it for a new generation because they think differently. The new generation needs to think differently by coming back to what the Bible has to say to start with. Right? Be not conformed, Romans 12:2, be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. And that only happens from the Word of God. If we don't come back to God and His Word and what He says of how we should live our lives, we're not going to have that blessed life. We're not going to have that peace in our heart. We're not going to have the joys that we could have if we were taking heed to this blessed truth. So he says, "And the truth of the Lord endureth forever." What he has always been, he is now, and he always will be. And by the way, he's eternal, so he'll be there for us. And the Lord Jesus Christ came as our into this world to suffer and die to redeem us from our sins as the fit sacrifice for our sins. He rose again. He's seated at the right hand of the Father. Bless your heart, his priesthood is forever. He hath an unchangeable priesthood. He's there for us forever. And so this truth stands forever. What if we, in our mind, and some people get to this point in their life, what if in our mind we just one day decide, well, that's not the truth? What if we start rejecting the Word of God? That doesn't change the Word of God, but it'll sure have an impact on, it'll have a great eroding effect upon the quality of your life. Because this word is the foundation. You know, Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount, you remember how he concluded the Sermon on the Mount? He taught a lot of things on the Sermon on the Mount. We've gone through the Sermon on the Mount verse by verse, and it's taken months and sometimes over a year to go through some of these passages. But this message that Jesus preached, the first public message that Jesus gave us, was the Sermon on the Mount, or at least what's recorded. And he concluded it by saying, "He that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them." Now, both are important, right? Right. It's good that we hear. It's necessary that we hear. But in order to get the blessing of it, you got to do it. "He that heareth these sayings and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man." He built his house upon what? A rock. rock solid foundation, the best foundation you can have. This world is going to tell you this word is not true. It's outdated. It's no longer any good for life. Are you going to listen to that counsel? That's ungodly counsel. Are you going to listen to that? Are you going to reject it? The very rejection of such counsel as that gives praise to God. Do you remember Daniel and Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego when they were carried over into Babylon? And Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not offend God. I may not have used the exact word there. But he purposed in his heart. When they took him over there, he realized, I'm in a heathen nation. But he also realized he was there against his will. But he also realized God could take care of him wherever he was. And he was going to do God's will. He purposed to do God's will. And he prayed to God three times a day before his troubles came upon him. And he was blessed. He was blessed because he depended upon this rock solid foundation. And I'm going to tell you something, that foundation is just as solid today as it's ever been. It's just as trustworthy as it's ever been. We can depend upon the Lord as much as we ever have. He is just the same today. All powerful, all knowing, all loving, all merciful, our Heavenly Father. May God help us to give Him praises. You know, I could say that 1,000 times, but it's going to be up to you to take what's been said and put it into practice. And that's my prayer for everyone here and everyone that might be listening to this in the days ahead. My prayer is that we as God's people would realize we're the only ones that can give Him praise. I'm not saying just Primitive Baptists. I'm saying God's people who know Him and love Him, we're the only ones who can give Him praise. So are we taking the baton? Are we running with it? Are we neglecting that privilege we have of giving Him praise and honor and glory? Verse 2 said, "For His merciful kindness is great toward us, and the truth of the Lord endureth forever," and He's not done. He gave us what to do. He gave us great reasons why. But there's one more exhortation. Praise ye the Lord. Will you do that? It'll be the difference between being a doer of the work or just a hearer only. May God help each one of us to lay these things to heart. I pray that the Lord would burden each one of us to realize we could be praising God a lot more than we are. But we're the one that has to change. We're the one that has to do something about it. We can encourage one another. We can pray for one another. We can do everything we can for one another in that realm. But at some point, we have got to choose. Will we praise God more tomorrow or this afternoon than we have in recent days? My heart aches sometimes when I see things going on. Well, it aches a lot when I think about things going on in the world today. So many have turned away from the Word of God. So many have chosen to take the counsel of the ungodly and sit in the way, and stand in the way of sinners and sit in the seat of the scornful. You know, the scornful that would scoff at the Word of God, scoff at the value of the Word of God, would scoff at the validity of the Word of God. There's so many around us. I pray every day that God's people, that our hearts would be guarded from those ungodly influences, and that we might be a praise to Him in the earth by letting our light shine, by being salt, by being a good influence, being a good example to others that might be watching our lives. May God help us to be a praise to Him in the earth. May God bless you is our prayer.